This morning in our Gospel reading, we had from John's Gospel the first words that Jesus speaks in that Gospel. And they're simple words. It's a question. What are you looking for? He says this to people who are beginning to gather around him, beginning to think, who is this person? John the Baptist is convinced, he knows exactly who this person is, that this is the Messiah, the one they've been waiting for, and urges his disciples to go and find out more as to who this person is. And they go, and Jesus sees them and says, what are you looking for? It is such a simple question. Such an important question. I was musing to myself this week when I was thinking about this passage, thinking to myself, well, perhaps we should start every church service with this question. In the name of the Father, and of the Spirit, and of the Holy Spirit, and of the Holy Spirit, what are you looking for? What a question to ask of the congregation at the beginning of every service. And of course, the reality is that every time you ask a question, the answer would be different. Because it would depend on what was happening in your life, what was happening in your life that day, that week, what had brought you to church at that time. It might depend on what's happening with your family, with your friends, the people that you're close to. It might be that it's the world, and boy oh boy, in this week of Christian unity, does the world desperately need praying for. With all the things that are going on in the world, and I'd just be saying, we are looking for peace in this world. Not justice, the biggest thing of all at the moment, I would say. But these are the answers that you'd all give different ones, and you'd all give them differently each time you were asked a question, possibly. And it's such a simple thing. It's such a simple collection of words. Here we are in John's Gospel. Whatever your feelings are about certain books of the Bible, John's Gospel is possibly one of the greatest books of literature ever written. The style of it, the content of it, it is beyond description. We have the glorious cosmic beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You know, setting up right at his stall, right from the start, and you're thinking, wow, sign me up, I'm on a journey here. But we don't have any of that wonderful poetry from Jesus' first words. We have the simple thing, what are you looking for? To which the people who are going to become his disciples say, Rabbi. They recognize him immediately as being their teacher, as being the person that they want to follow, the person that they're coming to. And Jesus says, come and see. Come and see, come and follow me, whatever you like, that the words may be. But Jesus is saying to them, come, come and see more. Jesus often, when he's talking to people, we've discussed it at length in various house groups here in church, Jesus often asks people, what do you want from me? What is it that you need? Jesus knows exactly what it is that each one of us needs. He knows exactly then, when he's ministering to people, exactly what they need. But he wants people to own it for themselves. He wants people to say, Jesus, this is what I need from God. This is the healing I need. This is the restoration I need. This is what I need just to be in your presence. Not just the most amazing thing ever, but to be in your presence. But he wants people to do it. He is not going around saying to people, you will come and follow me. It's, will you come and follow me? He's not demanding anything of them, but is asking them questions and is wanting them to answer from the heart what it is that they want, so that way they can restore themselves through God's love fully in order to becoming the people that God wants us all to be. So throughout the Gospels, we get these questions from Jesus. Throughout the Epiphany season, as I explained last week, we're keeping up our crib and returning it from being a nativity crib into our Epiphany crib. And so we've got symbols of Epiphany. We started off with the Magi. I'm pleased to say, really hot debate has been stoked up when I was in the schools this week. They all wanted to know how many wise people were there in the picture. How many were there? Well, that's just great. We have a real good chat about this. But anyway, we know there were three gifts. We'll stick with that. So we've got things representing the girl, frankincense, and myrrh. Last week was the baptism of Christ. So we've got symbols of baptism, we've got water, we've got the candle of baptism, and we've got the oil signifying people being anointed, which is what we do in baptism. And also, when I spoke to you last week, I said that baptism unites us with the death and resurrection of Jesus, the thing that unites us all as Christians, that we remember as we face the week of Christian unity. And so we've got the rock that's painted with the cross there to symbolise the stone that was put over the cave and then was pulled back across the cave to show that there was nothing that should be a barrier between us and God anymore. So we've got those. So my symbol of Epiphany today is quite simply an invitation. An Epiphany invitation. An invitation from Jesus. It's got no date on it, because it's every day that we are invited to come and follow him. Every day we're asked the question, what are you looking for? No time, because Jesus is always with us. No place, because Jesus is with us wherever we are. I realise I made a mistake with the last one, because it has got an RSVP with nothing left to it. But we RSVP through prayer. We RSVP through coming to the Father, through the Son, in the power of the Spirit, as we pray with one another. And we answer the questions in our prayers. Take time over your prayer. Take time to stop, to think about the invitations that Jesus gives us. Take time this week to stop and think and to answer for yourself the question Jesus asked the first disciples. Jesus asks us all, what are you looking for?